Well, good morning. It's good to have the kids back here to ring the bell, and good to have a bit of air conditioning on a very humid morning here, too. So good to see everybody, and welcome to you guys, and also to those who are listening on our website or will be listening on the radio next week. Do we have any good news or other encounters that you want to share this morning? Go ahead. Well, an engagement's always good news. Congratulations. Well, we certainly will be thinking of Phil all through his trip, and if there are others that you know are in need of those prayer squares, be sure to grab those. I was very pleased to see Skyland's picture in the paper, together with Pam and Chris, and a nice picture, an article about the party in the park and all of the stuff they do, and they certainly, that is an indication of how much some of our ministry will be missed going forward. So, you know, that is definitely good coverage, and, you know, nice of you to be in there, so good. Other things that people want to share this morning. Yeah. It's a very nice letter from them, yes. And I guess on a similar note, I actually had a lengthy visit this past week with Connie Schwab, who was asking all about our church and yeah, how things were working out and going forward. And she wishes us well. Obviously, we're at a kind of a point of no return here, but she did wish us well and was asking about things. So greetings from Connie to everyone who's here. Yeah. Sure. Go ahead. Always good to hear from the Mahana scholars. I know when I went to the reception we had for them, it was fascinating to recognize some of the names that I can remember from long ago in the past, and you know, how much of a difference it does make in a lot of people's lives. That is certainly a wonderful ministry. I actually forgot at the very beginning, I should have wished a happy Father's Day to all of you that applies to. So yes, you know, happy Father's Day to you. And that's something I often don't think about because it's been more than 40 years since my own father passed away. But you know, it is important in many ways. We're sharing good news. I had an interesting experience this past week that I'll bring up. Some of you know that one of the things I do at Garrigan is I announce sports games. I announce our baseball games all through the summer. And this past Thursday, the kids played up at Target Field, and I got to be on the PA up there, which was a fascinating experience to do. And really enjoyed it. And the good part is our kids did a lot better than the Twins did. So they ended up beating Clarion while the Twins lost big to Texas. So the only main event I saw in the calendar is the care team meal. Does anyone want to address that? Go ahead. Helen. Are there other things people want to share? Go ahead. It's always good to have some visitors with us, so thank you for coming. And anything else there? Then why don't we rise and join together in our call to worship? Let us worship the God of the Trinity. Let us worship the one who spoke in the beginning and created something out of nothing. Let us worship the triune God. Let us worship the one who took on the clothing of humanity to set those who were oppressed free. Let us worship the great three in one. Let us worship the one whose spirit rests continually upon us, calling us from sorrow-filled endings to brand new beginnings. Our opening hymn this morning is number 148. let's join together in our opening prayer. O God, our Creator, our Messiah, our breath of life, accept the praise we bring you. Guide us now and throughout our days to live by your commands, do your work, and bring glory to your name. Amen. Please be seated. If I hold up this visual aid, you might think I've got my calendar wrong. We associate the shamrock with St. Patrick's Day, and that was 3 months ago. Today is Trinity Sunday, a day in the church calendar that honors the three persons of God. We could call those the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sustainer, or many other trifold names. Whatever words we use, though, we're talking about the great three-in-one. In the weeks after school gets out, I'm often traveling with my Quiz Bowl team to national competitions. At Garrigan, we always make a point of taking teams to Sunday Mass when we travel, so I've probably been to Catholic churches at least half a dozen times on Trinity Sunday. I've heard priests in New York, Chicago, Washington, and New Orleans repeat the legend that St. Patrick used the shamrock to explain the Trinity. A shamrock's three leaves are connected to one stem, a nice metaphor for the idea of three in one. Now, there's no evidence that St. Patrick ever actually used a shamrock to explain the Trinity. But he was a bishop in Ireland, and the Irish countryside is full of shamrocks, so it's not hard to see where that story came from. Theologians have argued for centuries over just what the Trinity is and isn't, and most of their explanations are way more complicated than a shamrock. I like to simplify things, though, and to me, the Trinity is just three ways of thinking about God. I was a kid back when Schoolhouse Rock taught us that three is a magic number. So it makes sense to me that God would be revealed in three ways. We actually see symbols of the Trinity in many places. Just look around our church. While our stained glass windows are unquestionably beautiful, I've always thought of the windows in this church as rather secular looking compared to what you might see elsewhere. If you look closely, though, you'll see a lot of groups of three. Three triangles, three diamonds, a group of three roses. There's all kinds of groups of three. And I'm willing to bet that the artists who designed those 150 years ago had the Trinity in mind in grouping three things together so many times. So my prayer today is that whenever we see the magic number of three, we'll be reminded of those three persons of God. And may that triune God bless us now and always. Amen. When we confess our sins to God, we join the beautiful work of reconciliation. Trusting in our partner in grace, let us offer our prayer of confession to God. Let's join together in our prayer of confession. Almighty God, forgive us for thinking small thoughts of you and for ignoring your immensity and greatness. Jesus Christ, forgive us when we forget that you rule the nations and our small lives. Holy Spirit, forgive us for minimizing your power and squandering your gifts. O Holy God, three in one, forgive our blindness to your glory and our tepid and shallow faith. Have mercy on us and guide us to live as the people that you would have us be. Amen. God has promised that whenever we repent and seek a new union with God, forgiveness is ours. That promise comes true for us now, and whenever we come to God in true confession. We know that in Christ Jesus we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. We start our readings today with the scriptures for Trinity Sunday, beginning with a reading from the Gospel of John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to tell you, but you can't bear to hear it now. For when the Spirit of truth comes, it will guide you into all truth. It will not speak on its own initiative, but instead will speak what it hears, and will announce to you things that are yet to come. In doing this, the Spirit will give glory to me, and will take what is mine and reveal it to you. Everything that the Father has belongs to me. That is why I say the Spirit will take what is mine and reveal it to you." We continue reading in the book of Romans. "Brothers and sisters, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For through Christ, we have gained access by faith to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we even boast of our afflictions, knowing that affliction produces endurance, and endurance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." Now let's remain seated as we join together in singing hymn number 63. Now let's rise as you're able as we join together in our affirmation of faith, which you can find in your bulletin. We believe in one God, creator of all life, maker of past, present, and future, Lord of all people and of all memories and hopes. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's word of grace and love made flesh, who came to declare good news to those in despair, to liberate both the oppressed and the oppressor, to proclaim God's mercy as our hope. We believe in God's Holy Spirit, who takes our shattered dreams and makes us whole again, who lifts our dying spirits and gives us courage, who resurrects us to new life. We believe that the Church of God will endure to the end of time and calls us to live a life of love and service. Please be seated. Our focus scripture today is a familiar passage from the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew. Then the king will come and say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?" And the king will say to them in reply, "Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for the least of these, you did for me." Last winter, the wealthiest person on the planet gave an interview shortly before being put in charge of a task force that would lay off more than 200,000 government employees. In that interview, Elon Musk asserted that empathy is the fundamental weakness of Western civilization. Musk claimed that empathy had become weaponized, that empathy for individuals is costly to the collective, and that empathy for people from other cultures is destroying our society. While Musk himself does not profess any particular religion, the sad truth is that many people who call themselves Christian seem to feel that empathy is an outdated concept and not something that should apply to them. Several televangelists have spoken out against empathy, and a pastor named Joe Rigney wrote a book that's made the rounds in conservative circles called The Sin of Empathy. The same people who praised Rigney's book are those who criticized Bishop Marianne Budd when she urged President Trump to have mercy on the people in our country who are scared now. The bishop noted that the majority of immigrants to our country are not criminals, but people who pay taxes and are good neighbors. And she pointed out that there are children in both Republican and Democratic families who struggle with identity. Bishop Budd simply quoted the words of Jesus in her call for the president to have mercy, compassion, and empathy. Those words provoked severe attacks from many people who called themselves Christian. Some even called for the bishop to be deported, even though she was born in New Jersey and has been a U.S. citizen her entire life. Those attacks came from people who truly believed that they were Christian. But I think they, and all of us really, need to think what empathy really means and pay more attention to what Jesus himself said. empathy has been defined as the experience of the other and is sharing an understanding of the emotions of others. It's basically knowing what it's like to walk in someone else's shoes and understanding that their humanity is linked with our own. Many politicians and pundits would like us to believe that people from other places or people who lead different lifestyles are other. They want us to be scared of other people because they're different from us. Empathy challenges us to relate to the experiences of other people and see the similarities we have rather than the differences. When we have empathy, we care about other people's good, and we care that everyone is treated fairly and with justice. There's no question that Jesus calls us to have empathy. Today's gospel reading comes from the Sermon on the Mount, and it foretells the final judgment. In the part we read today, Jesus says that the righteous will be blessed and inherit the kingdom. They are blessed for things like feeding the poor, caring for those in need, and welcoming the stranger. Jesus notes that whatever we do to the least of these, we are doing to God. Jesus' words continue after we left off. He speaks of those who are condemned to eternal fire, the people who didn't minister to the needs of the hungry, the poor, the ill, the prisoners, or the strangers in their midst. He says that ignoring other people will bring eternal punishment, while recognizing their needs and working to help them is the way to eternal life. So Jesus tells us to help other people, to care for them regardless of where they're from, how much money they make, what they might have done in the past, or what lifestyle they might lead. In this passage, he tells us that the way to get to heaven is to help other people, no questions asked. This is far from the only place that Jesus directs us to show empathy toward other people. Listen to a few of his best-known words. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Judge not, lest you be judged. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. We also see calls for empathy throughout the New Testament. In Romans, we read, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn." 1 Peter says, "Be of one mind, compassionate, loving one another, with tender hearts and humble minds." In Galatians, we're directed to bear one another's burdens, for in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Ephesians says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." And in 1 John, we read, "If anyone sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person?" So, those who imply that empathy is a sin are just plain wrong. Time after time, the Bible calls for us to have empathy. It tells us that empathy is not a weakness, it's the very goal of Christianity. Our whole lives as Christians should be about understanding, loving, and serving other people. Today is Trinity Sunday, and the Trinity is really what sets Christianity apart from other religions. The Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures that are the basis of Judaism, center around what we traditionally call God the Father. If you read through much of the Old Testament, you'll just find one rule after another, with God telling humanity what they need to do. 613 laws that cover pretty much every aspect of life. That same view of God as a man whose main job is enforcing endless rules can be found in Islam as well. I think that by sending himself to earth in the person of Jesus, God is showing empathy toward us. It took living in the person of Jesus for God to really understand what it's like to be a human being. Having seen what life on earth is like, God's empathy for us transformed the endless rules of the Old Testament into a new covenant, the gospel of love that is the focus of Christianity. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is there to remind us that we need to have that same empathy for each other that God had for us. I've always thought of the Holy Spirit as that voice of conscience in your head that nudges you to do the right thing. Those three persons of God are the hallmark of Christianity. Together, they show us God's everlasting empathy for us and remind us that we need to mirror that empathy in our interactions with others. Empathy is not a sin, and it's not a weakness. It's what we as Christians are called to show every day of our lives. We now come to the time in our service where we raise up the prayers that we have for our church and our world. And after each prayer, the response will be, "Hear our prayer." What things would you like to raise in prayer today? We do pray for those who work killed in Minnesota, for their families, for the constituents of those legislators. And we pray that there, you know, may be swift justice for that and that there will be healing as well from that. God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. Skyland. We do pray for all of the conflicts that there are around the world at the moment, for most recently the conflict in Israel, Palestine, Iran, also, of course, for Ukraine and Russia. We pray for our service members, especially for Skyland's brother, and for everyone who is involved with that. God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. So prayers for Chuck and his family. God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. With that, I'll note that this coming weekend will be the memorial service for my longtime friend and colleague, Mary McCall. I do pray for her family and friends in this time of loss. God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. I think we also want to pray for those that were victims of the Air India crash earlier this week, and for all that have been involved in similar disasters. God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. Definitely prayers for all fathers on this Father's Day. God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. We do pray for the residents of Los Angeles who have been suffering of late, really for things that are not of their own making. And we do pray that God will be with them in this time. God, in your steadfast love and care for us, hear our prayer. Let's join together in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let's offer our gifts to further the work of our local church, to help out those in need, and to continue God's work throughout the world. please join me in our prayer of dedication. Almighty God, we bring our gifts in gratitude for what you do in our lives and who you are in our lives. You rule over us, stand beside us, and provide us strength we could never find on our own. May you use these gifts and our lives to make the transformation of the world a reality. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is number 580. As we go forth this week, may the Lord God bless us and keep us. May Jesus remain in our hearts. May the Holy Spirit guide us, protect us, and keep us in God's ways. Amen.